Elections are being held tomorrow in the Netherlands, and while Dutch elections don't usually make a lot of news outside of Western Europe, this year they are. All three of the top contenders are from the right, and they include ultra-right-wing nationalist Geert Wilders and his Party for Freedom. Now, the party might not win a ruling majority, but Wilders has a lot of support, and he's come to prominence echoing some of the same nationalist and anti-Muslim sentiments heard in France and in the UK across Europe, and also here in the United States. Now, Wilders has been compared directly to Donald Trump. Not only do their politics align, but you can't miss his shocks of blonde hair, strikingly similar to our own president's. Now, I saw Wilders on the floor of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland over the summer, where he was telling any reporter who would listen about his support for Donald Trump. Wilders got even more attention in the U.S. this past weekend when Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King tweeted that Geert Wilders understands that culture and demographics are destiny. King added, "We can't restore our civilization with somebody else's babies." Nick Robbins-Early is a world news reporter for Huffington Post. He's been reporting about the Dutch elections. Nick, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Americans might remember seeing Wilders because of that blonde hair I mentioned, but who is he and why is he so important to the Netherlands now?
Well, Wilders has actually been part of the Netherlands politics for, you know, decades now, and prominently for about the last 10 years. But in this election, he's really kind of come to an additional prominence because he is polling quite high. He's in a pretty close race to become the largest party in the election. And as a result, he's kind of framing the entire narrative around the election and dragging the whole thing into the type of narratives which include anti-Islam rhetoric, anti-immigration, and generally dragging the entire political landscape of the Netherlands towards the right. His main power comes from basically being an anti-establishment voice, despite being a career politician, and, you know, generally trying to promote his far-right populist views in any way that he can. And that's another reason that you've seen him kind of everywhere, including on the RNC floor.
So what's happened that the Netherlands has shifted in this way? I mean, we're used to this bastion of liberalism, right? Legalized drugs and sex work, these things that are kind of billboards for the Netherlands, this liberalism. Now this marked shift to the right where Wilders is prominent and could score very well in this election. What's happened there?
You know, it's an interesting case because if you look at other countries where this has happened, a lot of the times you can attribute it to, you know, let's say economic downturn, let's say high unemployment. That's not really the case in the Netherlands. They're actually doing pretty well relatively to the rest of Europe. Unemployment is at a five-year low, for instance. But something that Wilders has really managed to hit on is this kind of burgeoning anti-immigration sentiment. He's played on some sort of ethno-nationalist kind of fears that have been prominent. So I think what he's really played on is something that's worked in a lot of countries right now, which is an argument that he's going to upend the elite and he's going to return politics to this narrowly defined version of the people.
So we've seen this movement in the Netherlands, of course, to a certain extent in the UK, in France, across to Russia, and of course in the United States, the formation of what appears to be a kind of white nationalist international here. Do the Dutch have a sense that they're part of something beyond their own borders, a new nationalism spreading from the United States all the way across to Russia?
Well, you know, I think that that's a kind of a narrative that a lot of these far-right populists have been really trying to emphasize. And Wilders himself has, you know, met with Le Pen. He's met with the alternative for Germany's Frau Petri. You know, he's been very supportive of Trump in the past. And so as much as they're trying to drive that narrative, I think that that's something that some Dutch people have, you know, kind of embraced. However, I think it's also important to emphasize that over 85% of the Netherlands is not going to vote for Wilders, but his effect on the politics in general is what is a little frightening or potentially a larger issue.
New elections a day away in the Netherlands as the world watches the formation of a new right all across Europe and in the United States as well. Nick Robbins, early world news reporter for Huffington Post. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today, and a wild campaign season is underway in France after the current president, François Hollande, made the choice not to run for a second term. That's extremely rare. So it all comes to a head on April 23rd, a little over a month from now. The race to replace Hollande has been mired in a lot of political scandals, a lot of unusual campaign rhetoric, and a sense among French voters that their country is becoming part of the spread of right-wing nationalism, both across Europe and across the Atlantic in the United States. And then news today, a bombshell in the campaign. One of the candidates, François Fillon, has been charged with misuse of public funds. Adeline Sear is a journalist based in France. She's a contributor to our partner PRI. She's been watching the election, and she says it has some eerie echoes of the 2016 race here in the United States. Adeline, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, tell us about the charges against François Fillon, and this is just a bombshell in the middle of this campaign, isn't it?
Well, you know, never a dull moment in this election, that's for sure. In this case, we were expecting that François Fillon, the conservative who was summoned to appear in front of judges tomorrow, was going to hear, you know, whether it was going to be formally charged. And then the charges came down this afternoon, and apparently no one knew in the Fillon camp that this would happen. He had hired his wife, Penelope, as a parliamentary assistant for years, and yet there are no traces of the job that she supposedly actually did. So he's accused of having really paid her to do nothing. There is the same concern with his two children, whom he says were lawyers at the time that he hired them to work for him. In fact, they were just students. They did not become lawyers for years after that. So a lot of suspicion around this. The candidate presented himself as Mr. Clean. You know, he was going to be maybe not so much drain the swamp as Donald Trump offered to do, but certainly make sure that there would be no abuse or misappropriation of public funds from welfare recipients, for example. So this looks really bad for him in many ways. And there's been more accusations, but I don't think we have all the time necessary to discuss them all at this point.
Well, Fillon may have presented himself as Mr. Clean, but he's also running third in the polls right now. I mean, this could very well be the end of his campaign on a practical basis.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to hand it to him. He has been consistent in saying that he would stay in the race, even though he's been certainly sliding down in the polls. Right now, at the top of the polls, we have Marine Le Pen from the far-right party, the Front National, with something like 25-26%, depending on the polls. And then immediately ahead or below her, depending on the day, I suppose, at this point, they're really neck to neck. Emmanuel Macron, who is running as an independent, also a new thing here in France, who says, you know, there's good ideas on the left and the right, and I'm just going to run down the middle at this point. And he's polling very well. He's been doing better and better with the Fillon scandal, obviously. The Fillon scandal is really benefiting both Marine Le Pen and Emmanuel Macron at this point.
Well, I guess if fashion travels from Paris westward to New York every year, this seems like the reverse, where political fashion is traveling in the opposite direction. You just saw all these things. And one of the things that Americans may have noticed about François Fillon and these various scandals that you're talking about is a familiar media and internet-based campaign that seems to be coming from people connected to Russia.
There's certainly in Marine Le Pen's program, the National Front Party, there's just some strange echoes of what Donald Trump has been talking about. She's talked about an alliance with Russia. We know she's gotten a huge loan from Russia for her campaign. She has traveled there. And also, we see in this election process that there's a lot of places where there's not going to be any electronic voting because of hacking threats from Russia. But really what the current that we see now is a sort of a more populist. If you're talking about fashion, Todd, it seems now it's more like a trend towards nationalism and a populist trend, which Marine Le Pen represents here in this country, which is gaining speed. She is definitely one of the leading candidates in this election.
I just asked Nick Robbins early about a minute ago about the formation of this apparent white nationalist international spreading from the United States and the Netherlands to the UK, and of course, possibly now to France. Do French voters, at least when they see Marine Le Pen, have a sense that they're part of something bigger beyond their own borders in France, that there's an international aspect to this new nationalism they're participating in?
Well, certainly, because we see it with the current election now in the Netherlands. And it's hard when you live in any country in Europe to not see what's happening in your neighbor's country. But still, even though Marine Le Pen is rising in the polls, 58% of the French consider Marine Le Pen a threat to democracy, even though it's almost guaranteed that she will be one of the two candidates standing in the second round of the election on May 7th. As you know, France has two rounds as a runoff election. So the first round basically eliminates all the candidates but two. And then the second round, you basically pick one of the two candidates. And interestingly enough, I mean, there's so much confusion about this election that, you know, there's a saying that in the first round, you choose your candidate. In the second round, you eliminate, because basically there's very little chance that you'll see who you want.
Adeline Sear is watching that election for us. She's a journalist based in France and a contributor to Public Radio International. Adeline Sear, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.